This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, you are listening to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I am Ed, I'm your host. We are going to be reviewing in a moment the defeat at Mansfield yesterday. Before that, I've got a couple of parish notices. Those of you who have been following us on social media will be aware that we are plugging very, very heavily the fact that we have some Christmas merch coming out. We have a range of wonderful fridge magnets with an artistic photograph of Rodney Parade, the 1912 Exiles logo, and our favourite thing in the world, a steaming hot cup of Bovril. It looks very nice. There's pictures of it on social media. We would love it if those of you who listen to the pod and like what we do would buy one. They make a perfect stocking filler for a loved one, and the money raised goes into helping the podcast. So if you would like to buy one, then you can go to our Ko-fi account. There's a link in the show notes, and if you sling us a tenner through that and send us your postage details, then we will pop one in the post to you. So do have a look at that. The other thing that we need to promote is the fact that we are up for an award, the Football Supporters Association Podcast Award. We're up against some very, very stiff competition from higher up the divisions. There is, again, a link in the show notes. If you can spare just a couple of minutes to cast a vote for us, we would love it. Some of the gang will be at the Swanky Awards do, and doubtless will report back on progress. That's it in terms of notices. Now it's time, unfortunately, to talk about football. County fell to an away defeat at Mansfield yesterday, as you will know. The first of a really tough doubleheader against promotion chasers in the division. We've obviously got Stockport next Saturday at Rodney Parade, who were my tip to win the title this year. So it's going to be a tough fortnight. Coming up later in the pod, we've got insights from Ian Street, who once again was our man on the Northern beat, and caught up with a few regulars on the pod on the way. But before we hear from Ian, I thought it might be useful to get an opposition perspective, as we haven't done that for a little while. What did Mansfield make of Newport? How did we compare to other sides they've faced so far this season? And to help me in that quest, I caught up with Craig from the Mansfield Matters podcast. So let's pitch to that. Hi, Craig. Thanks for coming on the pod.
No worries. Thanks for having me on bright and early on a Sunday morning. But it's always nice to get out of the bed with 3 points in the bag, isn't it?
I can't remember the last time we managed it. But we'll come to the game in a moment, and also hear what you made of Newport. But tell us a little bit about your season, first of all, because there's something quite reassuring, I think, about Newport County versus Mansfield Town games. We're the two longest serving sides in the fourth division currently, and playing each other twice a season for 10 years has given the game a feeling of familiarity. It's a little bit like seeing distant cousins at a family wedding or something. So how are Mansfield going, and might this be our last trip to Field Mill for a while, given the lofty heights of the table where you find yourself?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it goes a little bit back longer than that, doesn't it? Going back to the horrible days, which nobody wants to talk about in the conference.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this year we're in a very good position. We've built over, you know, three seasons or so with Nigel Clough. We've really kept, you know, him at the helm and really stayed patient. Thanks in no small part to your manager, Graham Coughlan, being absolutely woeful in the COVID times. But no, I do feel sorry a little bit for Graham. We can come on to that later if you want. But I think it's one of those things, isn't it, where football's such a harsh game, and you see the turnover of managers get shorter and shorter and shorter every single season. But Mansfield were guilty of that in the past, but with Nigel Clough, they've really kept him. And even after losing out the playoff final a couple of seasons ago, kept the faith with him. Did it again last season when we fell short by a goal in terms of even reaching the playoffs. And I've just allowed him to build a squad and really keep the lads together and find some momentum. Make no bones about it. He said it in his post-match interview yesterday that this season is probably the hardest season in terms of League Two to get out of, because there's probably maybe, I don't know, 14, maybe 12 teams that are all vying for that top seven spot, and similar for the top three. And if anybody slips up, somebody will take advantage. You know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were maybe sort of sitting in sixth, seventh, and teams like Notts County and Wrexham have sort of dropped off a little bit, and we've capitalised on it by moving ourselves up the table. Stockport at the moment are absolutely ramping it and running away with it. We're one of the only teams, I think the only team, to, you know, even beat them this season. So it's all about staying focused and getting there. Fortunately, touch wood, this time around, we've got a depth of squad capable of doing it. When somebody misses out, we've got players to bring in the right positions, where we've not had that in previous years. So who knows? Come the end of the season, it could well be farewell for a while. But knowing our luck, Carabao Cup first round draw, there you go.
Well, yeah, you talking about squad depth made me feel immediately jealous. I think, yeah, it was there for all to see yesterday, the level of quality that you had on your bench compared to what limited options we had to call on ours. And yeah, you're right, it's such a competitive division this year. I mean, I expected Mansfield to be top half, but because of the quality and the spending power of some of the sides, I don't think I expected to see you quite as high as you are, but yeah, fair play. You've absolutely been kind of bossing it. You did mention Graham Coughlan, and I do just want to quickly dwell on that for a moment, because I did see someone, I think it might even have been your podcast, being quoted as saying, you know, that him and Joe Dunn, great people, but, you know, terrible managers, terrible coaches. There's clearly not a lot of love for them amongst Mansfield fans. But why do you think that is?
Do you know what? I think, honestly, if it was what a lot of people forget now is that Joe Dunn and Graham Coughlan were at Mansfield at the worst time possible for football. And they've obviously got this terrible record, and that is why they're sort of looked at in this frame of they're the worst managers, because statistically they are the worst pair that have ever been at Mansfield. We were fortunate that they managed to pull the trigger when they did in terms of sacking them. And he came for the wrong reasons as well. He was obviously riding the crest of a wave after Darrell Clarke left Bristol Rovers, came to Mansfield at a time where the end of the previous season, we'd lost in the playoff semi-finals, sacked David Flitcroft, which was a mistake, and even the owners were a little bit at odds with each other at the time over it as well, which is never a good thing when you're a married couple. And then replaced him with a youth team manager who didn't even want the job. He was basically told to have the job and take it on, and all the players had lost respect for him. So he comes in and he's got this dressing room which is all over the place. He's got to try and pick him up. And to be fair, if you look at his spell in two spells, pre-COVID and during COVID, the pre-COVID spell was actually doing all right. He was starting to get the lads playing again, and then COVID hit. How on earth do you manage a squad which, you know, in 2 months' time you're going to be disbanding anyway and getting rid of and rebuilding, but keeping them ticking over, training remotely and all of that stuff, and then eventually rebuilding a squad in a time where you couldn't socialise with anybody outside of a sort of a working setting. You couldn't really do anything. Any players that you moved up to the area couldn't socialise. They had to stay in the hotel. It was a mess, and you just could not do anything. And that's why he failed, really. And, you know, no wins in his first 9 games. He had to go. I used to work at Football and Community at the time, so I actually sort of got to see Graham and Joe a little bit. And some of the chats we would have on match day when he was talking to the mascots and stuff and things like that, it was all sort of pro-community and really spoke really well. And one thing I liked him about him as a fan, he was honest. He said, you know, if the players are letting me down, I'm not going to hold back, but I'll protect them at the same time. And I know he's done similar with you guys. Yeah. And actually, it was quite lovely yesterday to see at the start of the game, managers shake hands, Nigel Clough goes on to him. John Radford, the owner, was over for it as well, and he was pitch side prior to the game, shook his hand, brought them both together, had a photo. They had quite a little nice moment, which was, I think, basically saying, we appreciate what you did at the worst time possible for anybody at a football club, and we wish you well. And I do genuinely wish him well at Newport. And he started quite well, didn't he? He was sort of up at, you know, six at one point, and then the injuries hit. And unlike us, you've not got the money, you've not got the strength in depth, and that's where he's going to struggle. And yesterday I felt that if we'd have scored the penalty in the first half, we'd have probably put six or seven past you, but it was just the time of the goals. And I tell you what, I said to my friend at half-time, they will come out fighting second half, and that second goal is important, because there was a moment before we scored that second where I thought, we're on the ropes here, and if you score, we're in one hell of a game. So I think he'll serve you well, but you just need to get some players back. And as much as we'll sort of slate him for his managerial statistics, actually do turn around and say, hats off to you, because it was the worst time ever to manage a football club. And, you know, I personally wouldn't have liked that job. So we wish him all the very best. If it was, you know, a Steve Evans character who was a snake and rushed off to Peterborough via China, or, you know, one of those type managers, that's when the boost come. But it speaks volumes that he didn't really get booed. He didn't really get slagged off. Bar for maybe a minuscule 0.5% of a fan that just looks at the stats and don't realise the circumstances.
Yeah. No, I think that's all true. And he's certainly been well regarded for what he's done with us so far this season. You know, we've had a lumpy set of fixtures. We had a relatively easier set of fixtures kind of August, September. We then had a very difficult October, November. You know, playing you and Stockport on consecutive weekends is not what you'd arguably want. But then I was texting the podcast WhatsApp group yesterday, you know, in December we've got Tranmere, Forest Green, Grimsby, Crewe, so, you know, there's fixtures coming up that we need to win. I don't think anyone looked at Mansfield away yesterday and fancied us to get a great deal from it. But I mean, yeah, let's come on to the game, because from a distance it looked like it was, yeah, a kind of routine home win. You took the lead after 5 minutes from Davis Keeler-Dunn, who always impresses me whenever he plays against County. And then, you know, he doubled the lead in the second half. And apart from, yeah, Nick Townsend saving that penalty and, you know, pulling off a few other saves, do you ever feel that game was particularly in doubt? I mean, you said start the second half, we maybe gave it a bit of a go, but it looked fairly comfortable.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The only time I thought the game was in doubt was that five-minute period at the start of the second half, because I knew Graham would motivate the boys and really get them to come out and start playing, because they just stood off in the first half. We got that as soon as we got that first goal, they stood off and backed off and backed off. And to be fair, you know, we were probably wasteful with a few of our chances. The penalty was a stonewall, as you'll ever see. But there was such a delay in terms of him taking it. He was stood looking at the ball for a long time. Reece has just had a baby this week as well, so I think he really wanted to get that goal to seal off the week. And he had almost too long to stand and look at the ball. And when you've got a figure like Nick Townsend looking at you as well, you know it's always going to get in your mind. He's got a good record with penalties as well, hasn't he? So I always knew that one might be in doubt. Then he saves it, and then his confidence goes, and we sort of drop off as a squad a little bit. But we're never really out of the game. We're in control. We play some good football. We just don't put the ball in the back of the net. 1-0 was always dangerous. And then, like we say, you know, that first 5 minutes, you really came at us and give us a go. And that's why I think you'll be all right. I think as long as he can get you to do that, but over a more sustained period and keep that belief going, you'll be all right. And I think as long as it was 1-0, you're always in that game. But as soon as Keeler-Dunn scored that second goal, it was game over. And really, we were sort of in cruise control. And you know, I don't think you're a bad side. I don't think you're one of the worst sides I've seen this season. There's some potential there, but at the moment, we have got the complete opposite of you. We are brimming with confidence, whereas, you know, one little punch keeps you down for, you know, 30 minutes in a game, and that really does kill sides. And that's ultimately the difference in football at the minute. And, you know, we probably should have scored a few more goals, but we kept a clean sheet, and that's what Nigel Clough would have been pleased at most, keeping the clean sheet, getting the two goals and just playing the way we did.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, yeah, it was just kind of one of those games. And I think looking at it from, you know, the outside, I think most County fans would say fair play to Mansfield for the professionalism they showed to win that game and for getting where you are in the league, you know, against the likes of Notts County, our six-finger cousins from North Wales, you know, the likes of Salford throwing money about. I think it's, yeah, it's good to see a kind of proper club going as well as you are. One thing I've got to ask you, because a few people said about it yesterday, what's going on with the third stand at Mansfield at the moment? Because you've got, you know, the two proper ends, you've got the proper stand, and then you've got the building site. So what's going on with the building site at Field Mill?
Oh, nothing will ever get sorted with that. There's so many sort of bits of red tape and what have you. Basically, when they rebuilt the ground, I can't remember the old Field Mill. I'm too young to remember. I always remember it as it is, but I do remember Bishop Street being open a few times. I know the old press box is in there and what have you, and the gantries above it. The problem is, there's so much red tape. Whilst the demand's there for, you know, our fans to sort of come in and maybe utilise it a little bit more, it's just so difficult to do anything with it. You could potentially flatten it, but then you think, is there anything structurally wrong with it? There's access issues with the streets and what have you behind. It works as it is. Keep it covered up. The gantry's on top of it. The only thing you could probably potentially do is look to make a little bit of a terracing in the corner. But we've made a mistake there, rod for our own backs. We've whacked even before the scoreboard that's there now, some genius thought, oh, we'll buy some pitch side boardings from Wembley, flip them the other way up and turn it into a scoreboard. Never worked. It was gigantic, worked for about two games and was a massive eyesore. But that's now in the way. That structure's in the way of the only thing we could do in that corner. So I don't know. I think a lot of older Stags fans will probably not like this statement. But I think if we ever do progress to, you know, a top end League One pushing championship, which we do hope will come, it won't come in the immediate, you know, 5 years or so, but in the next decade or so, if we do start to get that constant demand, we'll move more than do anything with that stand. It is what it is. And do you know what it is? It's character.
Yeah.
Character, that'll do.
Yeah. Well, all the best for the rest of the season, Craig. We will, yeah, look forward to catching up, no doubt, later on in the season. So those were Craig's reflections. But what did County fans make of it all? Well, who better to send a report than Ian Street, our man on the Northern Beat? Ian sent us his match diary within seconds of the final whistle yesterday, displaying the sort of efficiency that the likes of Jack or Reece could only ever dream of. So without further ado, let's hear how Ian got on.
Hello, and welcome to the North, or, well, the South. The South, this is for me. Sort of Midlands, I guess. It's East Midlands. We're back in Nottinghamshire. I wasn't going to come today. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I managed to get a short hop down, so we're here. Couldn't take the train because it's 2 hours, 40 minutes from Leeds. So that's a nightmare, but hour and a bit on the way. We're all right. Got here. I'm not happy with the ticketing arrangement. I've actually slept right to the other end of the ground. I absolutely baffled the entire ticketing officing crew by asking for a ticket for the away end, which seemed to send the whole computer system into meltdown. But I've got one, I've got in, I've got a pie, I've had a pie, I'm disappointed by the pie. Tikka pie, 3 out of 10. It's been left stewing ever too long, the moisture's gone out of it. Never mind soggy bottom, it's a very hard bottom. But, as you know, the pod runs on Bovril, I've got my Bovril here. And for Bovril aficionados amongst us, as Ed often takes his own herbs into the ground with him. But what he did say, he said, what you've got to do is put a sachet of pepper on top of your Bovril, stir it in. And it makes sense to me, you know, beef and pepper works well, doesn't it? So I've done that today. Seems okay. It's not blowing my mind, but, you know. And I walked into the way, and I got in. There was only one turnstile working, so we stumbled our way in. The coach seems to have crashed through some barriers on the way in. I don't quite know what's happening out there, but anyway. There's some reprobates here. Ollie's here, Dan's here, Stu's here. So there's he's got a away game, so there's no one here. But now, like, people are flooded in. Glory hunters, that's what it is. I'm going to tell you a little story about Mansfield when I get in the ground and describe it. But they've had a good start, haven't they? They haven't lost. I'm not sure I've seen us win this season. The confluence of those two things means that we're bound to win today. That's what I would say. Someone's got to give, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean? They've got to lose at some point. Why not today? Although, just been chatting to Stu about the team, which we'll come on to in a second. Well, Stu, what's this team? Because I'm not 100% certain about this. Go on, run us through. What's going on?
I have no idea. It's a bit of a weird one. We're trying to work out if it's a back three or a back four. We've got Waite and Wood in the same lineup, which seems like they seem to be...
Lightweight.
They seem to be, no, swapped for each other. So, I don't know, 3-5-2 with Wood and Morris midfield, which...
Are we going to play Payne and Bonswell as the wing-backs, we think, in?
I think so, yeah. I think it's going to be Bennett. I think McLaughlin will play centre-back, maybe, because he played there Tuesday. But I really don't know, honestly.
Yeah. So we have no idea what's going to happen. But there will have been some score predictions on the bus. Ollie, how are we feeling?
As you said, I feel like every time Mansfield play a game, there's always got to be a chance that they're going to lose it, and why not today? So I've gone 1-0 for the County Omar Bogle.
Oh, it's a classic scoreline. Classic scoreline. Stu, what have you got on the bus?
I've got one each, Bryn Morris, just to be awkward and try and win some money.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, what have you gone?
I've gone 3-0, Will Evans hat trick.
You haven't.
I genuinely am.
I think Dan might have had a pint.
I might have had a couple of pints. Well, I think there's no point going if you don't think they're going to win.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with McLaughlin playing in midfield, Bennett in behind, we're going to smash them today.
Right.
They're going to lose today. They're going to lose.
I'm loving that. I'm usually quite optimistic. I don't know. I can't follow that. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. Which for me is, we're going to get, so I think we can get something today. What I'm hoping it's not, is our last visit to Nottinghamshire was a calamitous shambles at Notts County. We're not far away, so I'm hoping that we don't do that. And that the Gillingham people here amongst us, who saw us win at the Gills, they're going to bring on a bit of that luck. So we'll get on the ground. I'm going to try this peppered bovril. We're going to get in the ground and see what it's all about. So we're in the ground. It's a really odd one, this, to me, Mansfield, because it's in some respects, it's a nice ground for this level, and it's got a cracking main stand, double tier down one side. Just being outside that, there's, you know, they've got fan zone and bars, and it's good atmosphere outside there. And then down the other end, single tiered home end covered, all seats, and the same up at the away end where we are. Although strangely, when I was first here, which is back in about 1986, I think, the ends was different, so we were down the far end. And back in them days, it was an open terrace. And I remember arriving on Tuesday night, it was pouring with rain. I was about 10 minutes late, and they'd already shut up the turnstile, so I couldn't get in. So I had to come up at the home end, get in the home end, and then persuade a steward, it's in the days whenever there was fences everywhere and all that, to let me out on the side of the pitch, walk around the pitch up to the sparsely populated away end to gaze up at Alan Prickett, for those who might remember him, terrifying figure standing there going, Ian, what are you doing in the home end? I'm just trying to get out of it, Alan, back in the away end. It was very cold, very wet, and I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, I think we lost about 2-0. I haven't had great luck coming here, to be honest. I've been here quite a few times, and we seem to struggle most times. It's a tricky place to come, and I think that'll be the same today. I mean, they're unbeaten, as we said, so they've got to lose some time. The pitch looks heavy, actually. There's a lot of, you can see this could cut up a little bit. But then coming back to the ground, apologies, sorry, on the side opposite the main stand, there's nothing, it's all derelict. There's like what was an old terrace, and a bit of advertising. But basically it's a three-sided ground, and I mean, that's, nobody wants to be in a three-sided ground, do they? So I'm sure Mansfield will have plans. But if they built something really decent on that side, it'd be great. But at the minute, yeah, it's a bit meh. Floodlight watch, standard, utilitarian, nothing special, 3 out of 10. So yeah, that's the ground. We've got about 10 minutes to kick off. It's going to be a bit of a battle, I think, but we'll see how we go. So as I'm supping me Bovril, don't forget, Bovril 1912 fridge magnets, available through our Ko-fi accounts. Drop us a tenner, we'll send you a magnet, perfect stocking filler for everybody. And while you're out there, you better have voted for us in the Football Supporters Association Club Podcast of the Year. You've got till, oh, terribly loud, you've got till Monday, I think, or even maybe tomorrow, you've got to vote for us. So get it done. Go to the FSA website, we'll put a link in the pod notes as well. We're up against some minnows like Leeds United, Arsenal, Fulham, Liverpool. What do they know about football? None of them, right? Us and Cambridge United, we're the minnows in this, and we're the minnowest of the minnows. I think me and Mad Jack are off down to London for the prize giving, so that could be fun. Let's see how it goes. Right, I thought Stu was here, and I thought, where's Fraser? Is he giving up? But he's here. Fraser, what have you gone for today on the score front? What have you gone for on the bus? Are you sticking with that?
I've gone for 1-1 Bogle on the bus. I think I'm going to stick with it.
1-1 Bogle to score. Happy days. No one's going for us to lose. So just saying. Hello. Elvis is kicking off. He's alive and living in bloody Mansfield. Teams are out and we're playing in all whites, which is okay today because they play in, I would say, yellow and blue, but they clearly got some schizophrenic issues because they played a song about them playing in amber and blue, but all the fans are chanting yellow. So it's yellow and blue to me. Ollie clearly knows. He's got an inside knowledge to the kit man, clearly, because every time I've been away with Ollie this season, we've worn a different kit, and Ollie's wearing the kit. Ollie's in his white, we're in white, everything's right with the world. Chance in the first minute there for us. Nicely worked. I thought Morris was going to have a dig. He played it to Evans, touched it back to Bogle, who broke through, had to snatch at it, put it over the bar. We're not going to get too many, I don't think, so we need to make them count. But early on, we got an early tactic struck here. We're talking about inversions and all sorts of things. We think we're playing Delaney, Benno and McLaughlin as the three. Payne at right wing back, Bonswell at left wing back. Morris as the sitting pivot, and then the inverted two, Wood and Waite, pushing on with then Evans, who's also going to drop back into the midfield by the look, and Bogle up on his own. Is that how we're seeing it, Stu? Have I described that in a perfect order?
Yeah, perfect. I would say so, yeah.
Oh, dearie, dearie, dearie me. We're already one down. Could be a long haul in Nottinghamshire today. There wasn't really anything massively dangerous there. They played a nice ball out to the wing. Me and Stu just been saying, me like a team with width. They had it there, they got the ball in. The easiest thing to do would have just been put that ball out and settle for the corner. There wasn't any real pressure. But all we've done is knock it back into a dangerous area, and the guys just run onto it and slotted it in the corner. Just got to put that ball out, haven't you, Stu? Put it out. Another good chance for us there. I mean, Mansfield are playing with a good width, but we broke up the field there. Evans had the ball, and you're just thinking, he's just outside the box. Just hit it. Took an extra touch. They closed him down. It's gone for a corner. I'm just counting up to see if Mansfield have actually got 12 men on the pitch, because they seem to be definitely, they've got a guy out here on their right who's just hugging the touchline, finding lots of space. But when the ball goes into the middle, they seem to be outmanning us in midfield as well. So it's we've got a bit of a worry at the minute. It's all a little bit easy. We're too static and we're too narrow. Mansfield are able to just cut through us. They look quicker. It is a penalty. It's been brought down. It's a bit easy, but it was always going to happen. Once you make contact, once he's gone past you, it's going to be a penalty. Just looking down, Dan is not happy. He might have had a pint. So here we go, penalty live. I'm not going to get too excited unless Nick saves it. What a save that is. I didn't want to speak too early. What a save that was. Wow. Hit it well. Townsend's gone the right way. Got a lot on it, and I thought, oh, we're going to get punished because he's pushed it right back out. And then it's been an almighty scramble. The ball's gone hither and thither, but we've kept that out somehow. Now, is that the lifeline we need? Can we start running around with a bit of purpose? Can we start marking people? Can we show some movement? Can we show some wit? All these things, that's what needs to happen, because we are under the pump. Half time. It's only 1-0. What are we thinking? Ollie?
I think the scoreline flatters us a little bit. It's mostly been Mansfield, as you've already said. It feels like they've got 13 men, let alone 11. Just not playing how we should be. We're playing wide when we're defending and narrow when we're attacking. Players aren't playing where they're meant to be. It feels very much like square pegs in round holes. I think the quicker the second half goes, the better.
Stu, what are we thinking?
I couldn't hear Ollie because of the Blair and Oasis, but they've completely bossed the half, haven't they? They're really fluid in attack. They've got lovely movement. They're a pleasure to watch, sadly. We're just static and one-dimensional. I'm an optimist at heart, so I think at 1-0 you've always got a chance, but do I think we're going to do it? I don't know.
I mean, a draw.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is that obviously if the penalty had gone in, You could have seen it. It would have been a game over. We're not going to come back from 2-0 down. But at 1,
we've always got a chance.
And to be fair, we have had a couple of chances in this game. Half chances, maybe. But, we were just saying, I feel a bit sorry for Matty Bonswell, who is playing in the wing-back position. But every time he gets the ball, he looks up. There's no one there. There's no one in front of him. And he's obviously a bit nervous to go pinging up himself because he's leaving a massive hole behind, which they're exploiting. Which switched, fellow tactics fans, is why I like a 4-4-2. Maybe we're not with our current personnel, but I feel for him a bit today. He's a bit isolated. Still, it's only 1-0. They put the water in the pitch again. Let's see what happens. Now then, we're in the second half, and Seb Palmer Holden has come on. I tell you what, is this the cavalry starting to arrive? He's come on for Wood. It's good to see. So be really interested. Hopefully he's fit. Let's see what he can do. Obviously we've got to get the ball to him first and not concede at the other end, which we almost did. Right, here we go. Oh, just when you're thinking, you know, we maybe start to change things. Evans playing as the number 10 behind Holden and Omar. And Evans has lost the ball in the middle of the park. He wasn't strong enough in the challenge there for me. And Mansfield have literally just strolled through. They've had better runners off the ball all game, and they've slid the ball through. And a guy's just tucked it past Townsend. Made it look easy. Really frustrating. We need to really stay in this game for the next 5 minutes because we could get difficult. Another sub, trying to like a Dutch person trying to put his finger in the dike. Bonswell's gone off, and Clark has come back on. So yes, the troops are slowly returning. Off the line almost. That corner swung in. Morris at the back post got his head to it, over the keeper. Bodies on the line, as there should be for Mansfield. Get it clear. Best move of the game for us there. Played the ball beautifully down the right hand side, and Payne slotted a lovely ball into Bogle, who first time squared it to Evans, who was steaming in. Got a great connection straight at the keeper. Made a straightforward save, but either side of the keeper, that was in. Well, the game's petering out here into injury time. We've often puffed, but we haven't looked like blowing any houses down today. Stu, what's your thoughts?
I think it's just a exhausted squad. I mean, we can only ever bring on two subs, which makes it worse. Mansfield bringing on loads of fresh players, lots of quality. They've just bossed us completely today.
Yeah.
We didn't deserve anything.
Yeah. Ollie?
It's a nice stadium. You're all seeing that, Matt. Onwards to Stockport next Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be a nice, easy game, won't it? Yeah, there's nothing really from today. We can't take any positives. I mean, they've done their best. They've tried their hardest. They're keeping going right to the end. But Mansfield look a good outfit, to be fair. You've got to give credit where credit is due. And they've moved the ball well. They've moved their positional play well. They've had a lot of width. And they look a good outfit. And I'd be very surprised if they're not in the... they're not in the top three come the end of the season. So fair play to them. Onwards and upwards. See you in another northern town. Keep it safe and keep it county. Cheers all.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.